So this is going to be called Be a Daniel. Be a Daniel. So not only does the book of Daniel have awesome stories of how powerful God is, but more importantly, the book of Daniel inspires hope that motivates faithfulness in God for every generation of believers. This book tells a story of Daniel and his friends as they struggle to maintain hope in the land of their conquerors, the Babylonians. And the book of Daniel can be broken into two sections. Chapters 1 to 6 contain stories about Daniel and his friends in Babylon. And chapters 7 to 12 tells about Daniel's visions about the future. What's interesting about Daniel is the two languages used to write it. The first chapter is written in Hebrew, and then chapters 2 to 7 are written in Aramaic, and then switches back to Hebrew for chapters 8 to 12. And this gives kind of a natural cohesiveness to the book and how chapters 2 to 7 are grouped together and are important in order to understand chapters 8 to 12. But let's start today by looking at chapter 1. The book of Daniel begins with the kingdom of Babylon and their attack on Jerusalem. And you can read about this actually in 2 Kings chapter 24. The Babylonian attack was God's act of judgment on Israel for all the evil they had done in the sight of the Lord. How much evil did Israel do? Well, in 2 Kings 21, the Bible tells us that under the king rule, particularly the king called Manasseh, Israel did even more evil than the Amorites who Israel had driven out of the land. This included erecting altars to Baal in the house of the Lord. They practiced child sacrifice on these altars. They worshipped idols. They were into necromancy and mediums. Every kind of sexual sin and immorality was practiced. They even built houses for the male cult prostitutes in the house of the Lord. Israel had done great evil, so God sent great judgment upon Israel. And that's where Daniel's story begins. So let's read together Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar to the house of his God and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aspenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of the time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem and took captive many Israelites, including these four men from the royal house of David: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now King Nebuchadnezzar saw how wise and capable Daniel and his friends were. So they recruited them to serve in the royal palace. They were to learn the literature, the language, and the ways of the Babylonians. They were also to eat the diet, the daily portion of the food the king ate and drank as well. And not only this would remind them that where their food came from, but it also went against their Jewish food laws. And finally, they were also given new names that were linked with the Babylonian gods in place of the Israelite names that were linked with their own god. You see, all this was designed to assimilate them into the Babylonian culture, to essentially make them Babylonians, And Daniel was greatly pressured to give up his Jewish identity, which in turn would lead him to be disobedient to God. Now just imagine how difficult this would have been for Daniel. Consider the new place he was in, totally foreign land, a strange place with strange people, unknowing what would happen. But Daniel put his trust in the Lord, just as Pastor Riku was speaking about earlier. Today, we as God's people aren't facing difficulties too far or too different than Daniel's friends were facing. This world, our culture, is trying heavily to influence us to become disobedient to God's truths, to assimilate Christians into the evil ways of this world. So first, I want to encourage us to be a Daniel, resist assimilation to the ways of the world. We are living in a time when we are experiencing a culture shift, and people are being pressured, even bullied and threatened to assimilate or to be what is called now canceled. Post-COVID feels like a different place, a different world that we've entered into, where there's no absolute truth. Truth can be relative to each person, has their own truth. But there can be only one truth. That's what makes truth, truth. It cannot be relative. There must be and there is an absolute truth. And we know that that is in God and His Word and the person of Jesus Christ. We live in dark times where people don't think God exists. They don't want to acknowledge Him. And the closest perception that they come to this is they think of themselves as gods. People inside are talking about things that make no sense. How men can be women and women can be men. That it's okay to kill our children while they're still in their mother's womb, which should be the safest place for them. In my opinion, it's not too far off to call that a modern form of child sacrifice, and we're doing it by the millions. The institute of marriage is being torn apart. The image of what a family is, according to God's word, is being torn down. There's record number of divorces, widely acceptance of same-sex marriage. It all goes against God's truth. The enemy is trying hard to break the truth of God, to get people to exchange the truth for a lie, and he's succeeding. And sadly, we're seeing so many people believing in these lies. Even Christians are being deceived. And I want to encourage us all to remain faithful to God, to hold on to the truth of God's word, and not be assimilated to the ways of this world, the evil and dark ways. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world." The Word of God tells us to view ourselves in this world just as Daniel viewed himself in the Babylonian Empire, a temporary resident, a foreigner in that place. After all, our citizenship is in the kingdom of God, as Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in where? In heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to live as citizens of the kingdom of God, of heaven, first and foremost. So accordingly, make it your resolve that no matter what, you will live properly among your neighbors. Because you may be the only influence that they have in their lives to see the truth of God and what is honorable and proper in God's eyes. Be the light in the darkness. Be the salt that Jesus calls us to be in this world. Daniel remained faithful. He resisted to be assimilated. He and his friends refused to give in. Let's continue reading Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 to 16. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were in better appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Daniel knew that he needed to hold on to his identity as God's chosen people, being a Jew in exile. And the Lord gave Daniel favor with his captives. At the end of the trial period of 10 days, Daniel and his friends, they looked what? They looked better health than the other youth. They looked fatter on a vegetable diet. I don't know about you, but that usually doesn't go hand in hand in this day and age, right? Usually you lose weight. But this confirmed God's favor upon them. Now, I'm not no nutritionist. Maybe I'm not right in that, but maybe if you eat the right vegetables, you do get fatter, but generally from what I've observed. But this showed God's favor was upon them. That first, they were allowed to do this to kind of give this test trial period favor with their captives, and then the results were in their favor. So I want to encourage us to be a Daniel. Hold on to your identity in Jesus Christ as a son and daughter of the Most High. Just as Daniel had his identity rooted in God as his chosen people, being a Jew, we too have our identity rooted as God's chosen people in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 says, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual force of this world, rather than on Christ. God established his covenant with the Israelites through the Mosaic Law. But God has established a new covenant with us through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he shed upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we put our faith in Jesus, it means we receive him as our Lord. And we're to live our lives in him, our identity of who we are being rooted in Christ. And the world will try to take us captive with his deceptive and empty philosophy, as we are hearing and seeing so much in this day and age. But I believe that as we hold on to the truth and boldly proclaim the truth we have in Jesus Christ, God will show us favor among people as well. And the hope is that we would be able to impact the culture and people in our lives when we take a stand like Daniel and his friends did. The last handful of verses in Daniel 1 shows just the beginning of how they began to have an impact on the Babylonians. Let's read it. 1 Daniel verses 17 to 21. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. As young people, you may feel inadequate when it comes to skills and wisdom. Even being middle-aged or being an older person, you may feel that way. But we must remember that God, through his Holy Spirit, equips us for what he has called us to do. Just as God gave Daniel and his friends exceptional knowledge and understanding of the Babylonian literature and wisdom and how to answer questions and advise the king and all these things, and Daniel was able to discern all visions and dreams, which will be used to glorify God later in this book, we'll learn. But so does God equip us through gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophesying, visions, dreams, interpreting tongues, speaking in tongues, all this. God still equips his church, his people, to do the work that he's called us to do. See, God placed them in a special position to be a blessing to their captives and to build up society that they found themselves in. So be a Daniel. Be a blessing to society, to your neighbors. In the same way, we are called to be a blessing to our society, to build it for the better, to impact it for the better, to impact it with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This reminds me of the impact that Billy Graham had not only in America, but worldwide. In 1959, the effect of his 3 Australian missions was incredible. It was reported that Billy Graham's crusade had reduced the crime rate in parts of Sydney by half. There was significant reduction in alcohol consumption and illegitimate births. The Graham Crusade also gave a huge boost to local churches and the work they were doing. And hundreds and thousands of people confessed faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we know Billy Graham had an incredible ministry, and he was anointed by God in a powerful way. But you know what? We preach the same gospel. We have the same message of hope. We had the same wonderful news to share as Billy Graham shared. In order to be effective, we must know God's word and live by it and talk to others about it. The Bible encourages us that we should be ready to testify in every situation to defend the gospel. And the Holy Spirit will give us words to say in those moments, just as Jesus says in Luke 12:12, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." The church has a rich history of impacting the world for the better of mankind. It's been a blessing to communities that churches have been in. Through the church, places like hospitals were first built. Organizations to feed the poor, to help the needy, to provide housing. And these are things that continue in this day and age, doing good in the name of Jesus, bringing glory to our Father in heaven, loving our neighbor in the name of Jesus Christ. We're running out of time, so to conclude here, to summarize, be a Daniel by resisting to be assimilated into the ways of this world. Don't compromise the truth of God. Don't exchange the truth for lies. Is there anything that you are compromising today that isn't of God and his truth and his word? We can't have one leg in this world and our other leg in the heavenly kingdom. It's one or the other. Uphold what is true, what is good, what is pure. and understand that you are a citizen first and foremost of heaven, the kingdom of God, and a foreigner living in this world. Because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to take us home one day. Be a Daniel by keeping your identity secure in Jesus Christ, belonging to God. Know who you are in Jesus. You are saved by the blood of Christ that washes your sins away. And you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God and an heir to God along with Jesus Christ. Amen? Be a Daniel by being a blessing to your society, your community. Let your words and deeds glorify God. Live in a way that brings honor to God when your neighbors watch what you do. Do good in the name of Jesus and be ready to testify about Christ, to tell the good news of the gospel to those around you. Amen? So be a Daniel. Be inspired. And read the book of Daniel sometime this week or parts of it, chapters, and we'll talk about more about it next Sunday. But let's pray together, and why don't you stand with me as we pray.